Well, welcome. So we just finished last week our Live Generous series, where we kind of went through what generosity looks like practically. We kind of outlined that it really comes from the heart, and it's a decision between you and the Lord as to how much to give, when to give, and how to give, right? And so we finished that up, and we're going to move into a new series today, and this series is called Better Together. And so what we want to unpack this series is really relationships. And all the different relationships that we face in our lives, right? We have our families, we have our spouses, we have our kids, we have coworkers, friends, neighbors, extended family, all of it, right? And so it's so important that we have a good grasp as Christians of how to have biblical, solid relationships with other people. Mm-hmm. This day and age, we see a lot of conflict. We see a lot of just nonsense happening in so many marriages and relationships. And we want to make sure that we equip our people here at Village Church to know what pitfalls there are in relationships, right? And how to overcome them in a godly way. You know, and then we're going to also cover your relationship with yourself. Because we really feel like that is a huge contributor to some of our issues with our relationships with others. Amen? The way we view ourselves can drastically affect how we have a relationship with others. And so today we're going to be starting this series, we're going to be giving just kind of a overview of what a solid relationship looks like, biblically speaking, and why we need to own that relationships are important in our lives. And then next week, for those of you here that are our regular attenders that are going to be coming back next week, we want to just give a little bit of a warning. So next week, our topic's going to be a little bit PG, maybe pushing that 13 edge. We're going to be talking about sex, okay? So Matt Jennings is going to do that for us, because it would be super weird for us to have to talk about that together. So we're going to just bail on that completely and have Ashley's husband, Matt. He's going to do a great job for us, I know, but that's a big topic, and it's really so important, right, that we cover that well as well. So just be prepared. Maybe make sure your kids are in kids ministry or know what you're getting into next Sunday when you bring your kids in here, okay? All right.
Awesome. So we're going to open up to Ecclesiastes. Haven't been there in a while, probably. Ecclesiastes 4. So if you have a Bible today, I want to encourage you to, if you have an actual paper Bible, we're going to start pushing that. If you have one, bring it. What we realized, we had a huge fail in our discipleship process that a lot of people don't know even how to operate or work through an actual Bible, where things are at in the Bible. So it's just really good practice. So if you have one, please bring it. If you don't have one, we will buy you one. Okay, so put that on that connection card and we'll make sure that you get one. Also, we have an app. If you search Village Church AZ in your app store, there's a free app on there. It has our calendar. It has push notifications to remind you of things, and it has a Bible as well. If you don't have either of those things, it's up here on the screen for you. So we're going to be in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You may have heard it's not easily broken in other translations. And this passage is often brought up in marriage ceremonies and things like that, but we think it has something to say about all relationships. So today we're just talking about relationships with other people. And what we see in this passage, our truth for today, the main thing that we want you to take away, is that God designed us for healthy relationships. God designed us for healthy relationships. And when I say us, I mean humans, not just believers in Christ, but human beings are made, designed to be in healthy relationship with God and with other people. You know, he also not only made us for that, but he equips us what we need to be able to do that. Right? He is the source of all wisdom and healing and encouragement when it comes to having healthy relationships with other people. And I also have this written down that we need to understand before we go into this, is that we all have experienced and contributed to brokenness in relationships. Right? We all have experienced brokenness in a relationship. Raise your hand if you ever had something bad happen with somebody else, right? People are a way of life, right? Everyone's hand goes up. Raise your hand if you've ever been the cause of something bad in a relationship with someone else. Everyone's hand will go up. If it's not going up, we need to talk to you after the service, because here's the reality. People are difficult, and that includes you. Okay? People are difficult. Sometimes we fly off the handle when we shouldn't or whatever. We carry things from our relationships with our parents or, you know, back in generations. Sometimes we are even the ones to blame. But the reality is every single one of us has experienced brokenness in our relationships with other people. Every single one. And so we really have to rely on God. If that's the truth, that God designed us for healthy relationships, then we have to be looking to Him to equip us to know how do we handle that brokenness in ourselves and in our relationships mm-hmm. with other people. So our question today that we think this verse answers is, how can we do this? How can we have godly, healthy relationships? And I want to preface this by saying, this is for you and other believers. How can you have godly, healthy relationships with them? But also people that don't know Jesus. How can you have healthy relationships that are godly with people that don't yet know Him?
Yeah. So the first point that we want to do to answer this question of how we can have godly, healthy relationships is that we have to resolve that relationships are necessary. We have to resolve that relationships are necessary. And this is shown right at the top here. Two are better than one. Right? Two are better than one. That is a universal, biblical, God-given truth that we cannot escape. You can tell yourself that that's not the truth, but that doesn't make it the truth, right? It's the truth. Two are better than one. And that's why we titled this series, Better Together. We are better together. We are designed to be in community with one another. We were never meant to do life alone. And we see this all over Scripture, right? We can look at really obvious points like Matthew 18, 20, where it says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Mm-hmm. That verse does not mean that Jesus never shows up if it's just one of you. That's not what that means. What that means is He's designed us to be in community. And so whenever there is a community of believers coming together, that is where Jesus shows up to other people. That is the picture that we are to be giving to other people, to this world. Mm-hmm. We are better together. Yeah. And we even see this in the Trinity, right? God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they work together, right? They are better together. It's not, we don't just serve one being, right? We serve this triune entity that we call God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, which is crazy to think about, right? It's really hard to wrap our minds around how all that works. But the important thing is that even God, the creator of the universe, models this for us. Mm-hmm. The importance of relationship with others. Jesus communicated with God. Jesus communicated with His Father while He was on the earth. And He had to promise that there would be one greater. That's why He had to leave, right? So we can see that they work together for our good.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We also need others in our lives because, you know what? We often need a second opinion. Isn't that the truth? I need a second opinion in my life all the time. Because I'll just tell you, this last week I had a low moment. And I had this moment that I haven't dealt with in a long time where I was just like super low. I was meeting with Ashley and our pastoral mentor. His name is Dave. And we were talking, and like out of nowhere, I just felt so crummy about myself. Mm-hmm. And all these lies just started pouring in. And I'll tell you, if I was by myself in that moment, I would have spiraled like crazy. But thank God I have people in my life, right, that will give me a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it works the other way as well. We need that second opinion sometimes when we think we're doing good when really we're not.
Mm-hmm.
When we think that we got it all figured out, when we think that, yeah, this is easy, this is a piece of cake, I'm doing awesome, right? We need somebody else to say, whoa, buddy. You clearly cannot see mm-hmm. your hand in front of your face, because there is some stuff going on in you, right? We all need that. We need the second opinion in our life. Mm-hmm. Without that, we'd all either be like narcissists, right? Like, or we'd be super self-loathing in some way. We'd never know the truth of who we are, because our relationships act as a natural mirror for us. They act as a sounding board for us, a safe place. And without those relationships, as we talked, we'd be left to ourselves. And that'd be a dangerous place. It'd be a quiet, lonely, dangerous place. And we've all been there. We've all had those moments of, man, like, I need to be around somebody else. Even as an introvert, I recognize when I have gone way too far into the introversion, because I get trapped in my own thoughts, right? So here's the thing. We are simply designed to be together. We have to own that before we continue this entire series. So can we own that right now? We are designed to be together. I want to say we are better together. Say better, we are better together.
We are better together.
Absolutely.
Now, it sounds easy to say that in a church service, but the reality is we live in a country that is highly individualistic, right? And I did some research on statistics about how has this been measured before, individualism. And so I'm going to read you some things. 20% of Americans, only 20, actually have a relationship with their neighbors. 20% of Americans not only know their name, but actually hang out and spend some meaningful time with their neighbors. That means 80% don't have that with their immediate neighbors that live on their street. Back in the 1960s, you knew your neighbor. It was a normal thing to know your neighbor and to hang out with them and play card games or whatever you did, right? Like, those were your friends growing up. Those were your community, your people, not your workplace, not even your family members, but your immediate neighbors. Now, 1/3 of Americans have never even interacted with their neighbors. Never even. There's a guy that just moved in on my street, and he didn't even just. It's been like 2 months, and I keep thinking, like, oh, I got to meet him because I hate this, right? I don't want to be this way. And I swear we drive by each other every day, and I'm like, you know, just a wave. Like, that's the, you know what I'm talking about. That's the extent. And if you don't know your neighbor in Red Rock, I mean, let's be honest, that is wild, okay? But I would venture to say that statistic is true here. You know, there's times where I'm out at the park and I'm like, I've never even seen that person. I live in the middle of nowhere. These are the people that I need in my life, and I don't even know who half of them are here in Red Rock. So 1/3 of Americans never have even interacted. Divorce and narcissism are common in individualist culture. So there's actually statistics and studies done on what makes a culture individualistic, and divorce is rampant and narcissism is rampant. They all have a pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality. That was hard for me to hear. I come from a long line of strong women, a long line of pull yourself up. You don't need anybody, people, right? And so that's the mentality that we've adopted here in America. Individualist cultures put an emphasis on your individual rights. Have you ever said that? Well, that's my right as a human being, that I get this and I get that, and it's about me. They put value on independence. If you need to depend on others, it is kind of under the table considered shameful. Most individualist countries are wealthier. They're wealthier. So there's something about the amount of money that we have, the amount of time that we spend making that money, and how we relate to other people. Doing relationships God's way requires you to be vulnerable with another person and allows them to be vulnerable with you. And we do not like that word, vulnerable. That feels scary in America to say, like, yes, I'll be vulnerable with another person. That's a scary thing for us in this room. We have to recognize as humans, I mean, we might say, yeah, we're better together, but I don't want to be vulnerable to anybody. I'm not trying to share my business, stay out of it, right? We just got our yard done, and so we've been spending a lot of time in our yard, and our wall is super low. We've never really been out there because it's dirt, and I swear, my poor neighbor, I'm so extroverted, I'm like, hey, how's it going? Looking over the fence, and he's like, oh my gosh, like, get out of here. Stay out of my business. We're going to build that wall a little higher. That is... And that's funny, but that's what we do in our hearts as well, because this is our culture. It's just, I want to build the wall a little higher. I don't want you looking over into my area. Mind your own business. You know, I don't know my biological father. My dad adopted me, the one that walked me down the aisle. He adopted me when I was 5, almost 6 years old, and so I don't know him. And recently, for Christmas, I got a 23andMe DNA test. Anyone done a DNA test of some sorts? Really fascinating. I don't know half of where I come from. Who am I, you know? And so I got this, and I turned it in, and, you know, it was really cool. It comes back. It tells you where you're from, and I had no idea. I was, like, so excited. Now I want to go to all these countries and find out, you know, where do my ancestors come? It's really fascinating. If you have an opportunity to do it. But one thing it said at the bottom of the profile said, do you want to open share to kind of our community of people to see if you're related to anybody? And it had a disclaimer, like, you might be related to someone you don't want to be related to, and you might find out that you are not related, like you might find out your sister's not your sister, you know, like kind of thing. Like you're only half DNA, are you sure? And I was like, well, you know, we kind of debate on my younger sister. If my mom's listening to this, she'll just crack up. We laugh that maybe she's not really our sister, but yeah, it's just a joke. You got to meet Sarah, she's great. But so I said, yes, I said, okay, I'll do it. And it matched me 50% with my biological father. So he actually did a 23andMe, and he open shared his profile. Turns out he's adopted, so he has no idea where he comes from, and it put us together. We're the only ones on our family tree. It opened it up, and then it said, like, do you want to connect with him? Like, and you know, all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was not expecting. I was wondering, like, is Abe Lincoln my relative? You know, I wasn't expecting that my biological father was in here. And I just tell you, in that moment, I mean, of course, I'm Facebook stalking instantly. You're like, oh, my gosh, who's this, who's that, and who's his kids, and do we even look alike? And turns out my half-sisters are a lot taller than I am. That's not fair that they got that part. This is super creeper because they don't even know I've been doing that. But the reality is there was this moment, right, where I'm like, do I want to bring the wall down? Do I want to be vulnerable? I don't know this person. Do I want to be vulnerable to them? And, you know, in that moment, it just reminded me of just what we're talking about here, is that we say, yes, we're better together, but when it comes to having relationships with other people, we want to keep those walls up. We don't want to open share our profiles with people. And I want to caveat that to say, there's wisdom and boundaries and all these kinds of things, right? We just don't open up to let people walk all over us, and we're going to tackle that. How do we handle drama in relationships? One week is going to be on conflict and how we handle it. But I think it's a challenge us, if we're going to do relationships God's way, we have to be willing to bring the wall down, right? So it's not enough just to chant it together at church. This is an actual thing that touches our lives and our families and our neighbors and our friendships and our coworkers. We have to be willing to take the lead on this as Christians.
Yeah. So what's your relationship status? Is it complicated? Right? Are you solidly single with your life? Are you like, forget it, I can do this on my own, I don't need anybody else? Can you acknowledge some of the healthy relationships in your life? And are they truly healthy? We need to take a second before we move on and we figure out how to incorporate health into a relationship and really think about, where are we at? We know relationships are necessary at this point, I hope. We know that God designed us for relationship, I hope, at this point. But you need to take a moment and really look at yourself and say, am I in healthy relationships, or is it complicated right now? Mm-hmm. Is there stuff in me that's complicating this? Is there junk in me that I need to get rid of so that I can step into a new season of healthy relationships? That's where we have to be right now. So I want us all to just take a moment. I'm just gonna give you a couple seconds. And just think to yourself, maybe write down some names of people that you know you're not in a healthy relationship with. Write down some things in your life that you know are blocking you from having healthy relationships, decisions that you make, things you believe about yourself that are blocking you, that are complicating things with others. Yeah. We're going to give you just a few moments, and then we're going to move on.
We mean business here. Okay, we're going to go through this series, and you're like, well, I've never had a quiet moment in church to write something down. You know, that's a weird thing, but we mean it. We really believe that this is what God has the next season in our church. We've done a lot of counseling lately and things, just people struggling with, what do I do with this person in my life? I don't know what to do. And so we really believe this is the next kind of place that we're going as a group, as a church. The second thing, if we are going to have godly, healthy relationships, we have to adopt a selfless approach toward others. Mm-hmm. We have to adopt a selfless approach toward others. In verse 10, it says, two are by the one of a good return. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? If you're overpowered, you'll be overpowered if you're one, but if there's two of you, you can make a defense for each other. And so when you hear this, you know, a lot of times our tendency is to go like, yeah, when I fall down, someone should be there to help me up. But the reality is, what this challenge is no, when other people fall down, I should be the one that steps up to help them up. If somebody is cold or hungry or lacking, I will make up the difference. If someone is being overpowered, I will step in. You see that? The selfless, right? Like, you know that we struggle with selfishness in an individualist culture. And so we have to adopt this selfless approach toward others. You know, Jesus emphasized over and over again that it's about other people. He emphasized over even your enemies, right? If they hit you, turn the other cheek. Don't even retaliate. It's about other people. And then in 1 John, it talks about that you cannot love God and hate your brother. You cannot be selfish and not be loving toward people and also say, yeah, I love God, I'm a Christian. They go hand in hand. You are either selfless and loving and adopting what I say about people, or you don't love me. I mean, that's a harsh reality. And so this is a challenge for each of us. And I want you to know, I know this is hard. You walked in here thinking, I'm not really that selfish. But but you hear that, you're like, maybe I am a little. And that's okay. It's okay to be honest in here today. But we have to adopt a selfless approach.
Yeah. You know, some of us in here, including myself, might find it easier to be a friend to somebody else than to let them be a friend to you. And I've struggled my entire life with that aspect of things. Growing up, I'll tell you, my personality changed drastically in my life, because growing up, I was like life of the party, the loudest person you've ever met in your life, like crazy. I was a goofball, like, and I had 10 groomsmen at my wedding. So like, I had a lot of friends, right? But here's the thing, like, I don't know how good a friend I was to them. They called me friend, right? Because I was able to, like, you know, be solid for them and help them, and, like, you know, I was fun to be around, and like, we'd hang out, and but I'd never opened myself up enough to let them be a friend to me. I always thought I had to be guarded, and if I ever struggled with anything, I felt like I had to pretend to be somebody that I wasn't, just because I was afraid of like ruining that friendship, or that I was gonna let somebody down or something. Right? Friendship is a two-way street. We can have lots of friends, but if you're not a friend to them, if you don't know how to be a friend to them, then it's complicated, right? Then you got some complications in your life that you need to seriously sit down and look at yourself and say, why in the world am I this way? Why can't I be real? So that's one side of it, but I know we also struggle with the other side of that, of letting people or being a friend to other people. Because the same things happen. We think either I am strong enough on my own, I don't really need anybody else, I got this, I can do this life on my own, I don't need anybody else, right? Like, I got it all covered, I'm fine, mm-hmm. I'm fine. We say that all the time, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm fine, right? But the danger with that, right, is that we withhold ourselves from other people, and we say, I don't need you, I don't need what you could offer to my life, I'm good. And then we're missing out on the complete entirety of the Great Commission itself. You cannot call yourself a Christian and call yourself, I'm like good without relationships. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. You can't play that game. And I'll tell you, I've had to overcome that. I've had to really overcome that as a person, not just as a pastor, as a person. There's times where, like, because I'm an introvert, and one of the things about this series is that Ashley is an extrovert, she's a woman. I'm an introvert and I'm a man. So hopefully you'll get like a wide range of perspective here, but I'll tell you, like, I am like really introverted sometimes. And I remember, like, we went to a church planting conference one time, and one of the guys in a breakout session was like, if you're an introvert, don't even try. Just forget it. You're not gonna be able to plant a church. And I was like, okay, great, we'll see you later. Like, you know, like, why would you say an absolute statement like that? Like, okay, sorry, half of you in this room, don't even try, right? But that stuff messes with me, because, like, as an introvert, I start overanalyzing and stuff. But it takes a lot for me to, like, cross that line sometimes. And I have to tell myself, you know what, like, why are you so weird, Cody? Why are you being so weird? Like, just go talk to that person. Just go talk. Just reach out, right? So, like, anyway, I just want to say, like, with this point here, right, we have to adopt this selfless approach towards others, because only in selflessness, when we adopt that, are we going to really be able to be in relationship that's healthy, right? That selfless attitude, is going to be what keeps the health and keeps the barriers at bay. Because if two people are in a relationship and one says, I'm going to do everything I can for you, and the other person says, well, I'm going to do everything I can for you, that's what health looks like. But we all find ourselves in relationships sometimes where I'm doing everything I can for that person, but they ain't doing nothing for me. And vice versa. Mm-hmm. Right? And so with that, we're going to be going into this next point, and we're going to talk about how to remedy that situation. But again, just as we understand that we have to own that we are better together, we also have to own that a real relationship requires selflessness.
Yeah. Yeah, and when he was talking, I was thinking that self-preservation, right, this preserving of myself is, you can't be selfless and self-preserve, okay? And that is hard to hear, because a lot of us have been hurt by other people. Raise your hand if someone else hurt your feelings ever in your life, right? And some of those things are shallow, like you cut me off, that made me mad, right, at Cortero, because it's wild there. Like, I love people until I get to Cortero, then it's like, man, like, it's rough. But then there's also, like, real deep hurts that we have, real hurts, that people that were supposed to love us well didn't, or they're not doing it right now, okay? And so we are tempted to self-preserve. But I remember I was going through a time in my life where I was struggling with this, with someone that kept hurting me over and over again. I was just trying to figure out, what's the boundary, what's my role? I want to just cut them out and be done, but is that really what you want, God? And I remember that that God said to me that walls are built in fear, guards on your heart are built in trust. He just said that to me in my quiet time, that the Bible says guard your heart. So there is this thing, but that's different than self-preservation. That's different than putting a wall up. We guard our hearts because we trust God as our defender of our heart. But we put walls up when we're afraid, when we're fearful and try to self-preserve against other people. We don't often think of self-preservation as being selfish, but it is, and I think that that's a challenge for us today. So have you been selfish in your relationships? I'm just going to throw some hard words out. You ready? You know you have if you think things like, well, she deserves it. I'm rude, and that's what they deserve. That's what they get. Okay, if you've ever said that, there's a tendency of selfishness in you. If you're thinking today, well, he doesn't think about me, why should I think about him in my marriage? You know, he doesn't do this for me, why would I, ... right? There's a selfish tendency there. This is hard. Well, so-and-so got their wife 6 diamond rings for Mother's Day, but what did I get? Nothing. I haven't gotten a text yet today. You know, like, we it's so funny with Mother's Day.
6 diamond rings.
You had to, like, I had to, like, bring it a little higher, because there's a tendency to compete, right? Like, you go on Facebook and you're like, well, that mom got jewelry and I didn't get it, you know, whatever. This selfish approach toward our relationships with others. And we conquer selfishness by being generous. That's how we conquer it. If you're struggling with selfishness today, just start giving stuff away. Just like give your time, give your words, give just like, okay, I'm just going to conquer this in myself by being generous. I'm going to combat that. So how can you start practicing generosity toward others as opposed to being selfish? How in your life, and we're going to give time to reflect on this, can you stop self-preserving? Can you begin to trust God? You know what, Lord, you're going to defend me. You're going to give me the wisdom or the boundaries and the things that I need. I don't need to self-preserve. You are preserving me. I can let my walls down when it comes to other people.
Yeah. So our last point here is in how we can have godly, healthy relationships, right? So first it was we have to resolve that relationships are necessary. We have to adopt a selfless approach towards others. And last, we have to invite God into every relationship. We have to invite God into every relationship. And we see this here in this last verse where it says, the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And you have to read into that just a hair, right? Because it's like he's talking about two the entire time, and all of a sudden three gets thrown out, right? But that third strand is God. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So God at the center of our lives and of our relationships, it acts as a compass for us to be able to determine what's unhealthy versus what is healthy. And in inviting God into every relationship we have, that's family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, whatever, right? It means that we can view those relationships in a healthy way and always make decisions in those relationships that honor God first. And anytime we make any decision that honors God first, health is there. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how it works. We know God has what's best for us, and so when we follow his way for things, we can be confident that we're standing on a foundation of health in every relationship. And I'll say, this even includes relationships with ourselves. If we ask God, like, God, like, I need to invite you into the relationship with myself, the way I view myself, I need to see myself mm-hmm. through your lens. Because often that's the first step in order to be healthy for other people as well. You got to look at yourself first and say, what is broken in me? God, help me see myself through your eyes so I can actually see that maybe I'm worth something. Maybe I'm worth being in a relationship with somebody else. And then you can move into that relationship with anybody else with that foundation, knowing, you know what? I do have something to contribute here. I do have something to offer this person. I am worth somebody else's time. Mm. I am worth somebody else's love in my life. And then moving forward into that, you can still use that filter and say, okay, God, how do you want me to be here? What do you need me to be for this person in my life? And then instantly we know exactly how to be. God, how am I supposed to be a great friend right now? What would a great friend do? What would a godly friend do in this situation? Man, if we all asked that question before we do anything in all of our relationships, holy cow, can you imagine the difference? Just that one simple question could do. What would a godly, great friend do?
Yeah.
That means we're going to let stuff go. That means we're going to understand more. When people, when our friendships mess up, when they do something, you're like, well, forget you. I'm not calling you for a week, right? Like, we're not going to hold nonsense against each other. If anything, we're going to be that mirror. A great friend would say, hey, like, what you said to me may hurt, but what's going on?
Yeah.
There's something deeper happening in you. I know it. Because I know you don't mean that towards me. I know. I know you love me. That's what it looks like. That's mm-hmm. what relationships have to be founded in. And God is the only way we're going to ever have that perspective. We can't try hard enough to be a good friend. We have to invite God in, and then we can guarantee our friendships will be where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, and the healthiest, best, godliest relationships are the ones where both parties invite God in, right? Those are the best ones. You know, I started following Christ a little bit later in high school, and so I had, you know, all these friends from different circles and things like that, and it became apparent very quickly that it was different right now. My life and what I was doing was different now than the crew that I had run with before, and so that created kind of a natural distance there, and that's, like, tricky to navigate, and we know we have a lot of new believers in our church. church people that are really trying to follow after Jesus with their whole hearts, and that's creating some distance maybe with people in your family or your friendships, but there is a way to navigate that. Okay, so the first thing we can see is that's a good marker for what is a good friendship. What's a good godly friendship? Does that person also invite God into our relationship? Some of my closest friends, my people, I have two girls in my life that they're just like sisters to me, and we are that close. We bear each other's burdens, and we work through life together, but the biggest, most important thing is that we both, on both sides, invite God into our friendship. So it's safe. It's a safe place. And that doesn't mean you're going to do it perfect. Even in godly friendships, when you invite God in on both sides, there's still going to be times where you have to exercise forgiveness, right? You have to have grace and patience and be honest and learn how to communicate well. But if you invite God in on both sides, you know you're going to get the wisdom. Like Cody said, it's the compass for knowing what am I supposed to do in this situation. It's the safest place to be. But we all have to deal with people that don't believe the same things that we believe. People in our families, maybe even our immediate families or friends that, you know, we've kind of parted a little bit, distanced ourselves from because they're doing things that are different than what we would now do. And so we can still invite God on our side into that relationship. Okay, so this is not an excuse to just cut everyone out of your life that doesn't agree with you, okay? Like, well, that's what they said, you know, what? No. We all have to deal with that, but we can still invite God into those relationships. I want to encourage you. Sometimes we don't do that because the other person's not doing it. Well, they're just crazy, you know, or whatever we think, or they just don't get it, or they whatever. We can still, on our part, be that for the people that don't know him. And oftentimes, because of the way that you handle difficult people in your life or people that believe differently than you, that's going to help them notice, right? Because the rest of the world is kind of this chanting this individualist tone. But you take this selfless approach when you invite God in, it grabs the attention. A lot of people in my life that I've had the honor and privilege of leading to Jesus were simply like, you listened to me. You were patient with me. You gave me your time. Like, there was something different about you than I had encountered somewhere else. And that's not to my own glory or our own glory, but to the glory of God who empowers us to do that. Amen? We can invite God into our relationships. I wrote this down here. I want to read it out to you. When we invite God, he helps us put down boundaries. He helps us react in love. He helps us have wisdom. Unhealthy relationships are an opportunity for us to rely on God. Okay, so if there's somewhere in your life that you're identifying, you know what, I'm just going to come out and say it, it's unhealthy. Whatever it is that I have between this other person, it is an opportunity for you to rely on God. And oftentimes, those times we get to rely on God, we don't like because it makes us feel weak or like we don't know what we're doing. But I'll tell you, that growth, that stretching time that we have in our faith, it hurts sometimes. It's like growing pains. You remember those? When you were, well, I don't. But, you know, it's like, it's painful, a stretching process. It requires us to go into territory we've never been before and do things we've never done. I'll tell you, it's been so neat. There's people in our church that have had rifts in their family that have written letters of forgiveness or just bridged a gap after years, and that hurt. That was stretching. It was painful. But I'll tell you, when we rely on God, we experience what's called sanctification, the making of us becoming holier and holier into who God has made us to be originally. When we surrender, we get to have victory over our own brokenness. So it won't fix that person, but it might bring us into a greater victory in our lives, in our own brokenness. And so don't be afraid. Invite God in and let him stretch you as you rely on him to navigate those difficult waters.
Yeah. Along with that, you know, we know that God is the constant in our lives. He never leaves us or forsakes us, right? Like, there's nothing that can separate us from his love. We know that from Scripture, right? But with that, we know that God is not a bridge burner. He never burns any bridges with anybody. And we have to take that as an example in our relationships with other people. We as Christians cannot be bridge burners. Other people will leave us. Especially if you've come into life change as a Christian, if you spent a lot of your life one way and had a lot of friends one way, and then all of a sudden you start changing, some of those people might burn bridges. You know what? That's a promise in Scripture. It happens, mm-hmm. And it hurts. But that's part of radical life change. That's stuff to be expected, right? But we can never be the ones who say, I don't want anything to do with you ever again. We can't be that way. God exemplifies that for us. He'll never do that to us. And you know what? We have to do that for ourselves too. We can't burn bridges in ourselves in the way that we think about ourselves. We can't say, well, forget it. I'm never going to be that way. Forget it. I can never overcome that in my life. This is just mm-hmm. the way it is. We cannot burn bridges. When we invite God into every relationship, we've established that it has to start with yourself. Inviting God in relationship with yourself. And so earlier on, I asked you to maybe write down some areas, right, that you need to maybe resolve in your life. Areas, things that you think about yourself, people that you know your relationship is not where it should be. And I want you to take time to invite God into that situation. Invite God. If you're looking at a piece of paper and you've written down things that you think about yourself that you know are hard and false, if you're thinking about yourself like, man, I'm not worth somebody else's time, I'm no good, whatever it is that complicates your relationship with yourself, invite God into that right now, because there's not going to be any room for any of that nonsense anymore. Because God is going to push that all out. God will never let you settle on thinking less of yourself than he does. He'll never let it happen. So take a moment, invite God in and say, God, okay, it's time. I want to give this to you. I invite you in to the way I view myself and my relationship with myself. God, I invite you in to the relationships I know are messed up and complicated right now. I invite you in so that you and I can have a relationship together. Take that time right now as we go into our conclusion and Ashley wraps this up. I pray that that would be on the forefront of your mind, getting right with God, getting right with yourself so that you can get right with others.
Amen. You know, some of you in here today are in the midst of some pretty unhealthy relationships, really struggling to know what to do. And I believe that there are people in here that haven't yet invited God into their own lives to have a relationship with him. And so we're just going to ask you to bow your heads, have the worship team come forward. We'd like to give you an opportunity in our church to respond. This is just for you, okay? This is just for you to kind of put these things that God has spoken into you down into your life, to give you the chance to say, you know, Mother's Day 2018 was the day that I dot, dot, dot. And so if this is any one of these things I say is you, if you would just raise your hand. So the first thing is, if you're hearing this and you have not yet invited God into relationship with you, you've not said, God, I see that you have the best way for me, and I've withhold myself from you for whatever reason. I want you to know today that you can start a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you'd like to do that, if you're hearing this, and I believe even as we were talking that there's people that have been in the midst of this, maybe an unhealthy relationship with a family member or a friendship or a neighbor or something, and today you need to just surrender those ways to God and invite him to give you the wisdom, invite him to help you navigate it. We can only do that when we're in relationship with God. And so if you've never started a relationship with Jesus and you want to say, today is the day I'm starting that relationship, I don't know exactly what that looks like yet, but I know it's something I have to explore. Would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Awesome. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that when we do that, when we invite Jesus, that the Holy Spirit comes in all fullness of God's presence to live inside of us, to give us wisdom, counsel, guidance. Those that raise their hand, that's what's happening now for you, filling you up from head to toe with his presence. Some of us in here have had just a broken relationship with God. Maybe we invited him at one point, but we shut him out. We want to give you the opportunity to invite him again today. So if that's you, maybe just a recommitment to Jesus. You want to invite him back into your life. You want to say, yes, Lord, come. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. Awesome. He doesn't withhold himself from us. doesn't matter where we've been, the mistakes we've made, how we haven't followed or, you know, crossed our T's, dotted our I's in our behavior. He's happy, excited to be back in your life today. I want to ask you, if you have been hearing today, we live in an individualist society, and you're just willing to admit, you know what, as much as I say, better together. I tend to self-preserve. I tend to just wall off, close myself off. And you just want to say, you know what? God, I'm going to surrender to your design, that relationships are necessary. You created me for community. You created me, and you're in the midst of even the hardest relationships, and I'm not going to hide from you anymore. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. Yes. Praise the Lord. If you're realizing today, you might have some selfishness. You might be a little bit selfish. I love it. Hands already going up. You might just realize that, you know, I didn't think I was, but I need to adopt a selfless approach because Jesus did it. He gave himself away to people that were spitting in his face, his best friends that said, I will never leave you, turned their back on him, and still he went to that cross and gave everything, the most generous sacrifice for us. So if you want to say, I'm going to adopt that selfless approach in my life, would you just raise your hand? Awesome. And if you hear this truth, we have to invite God into every relationship. And you have a relationship that you have forgotten to invite God to the table. And you've been relying on yourself to know how to navigate it. And today there's somebody or some, maybe multiple people that you're just saying, you know what, I need to, in this worship time, I need to write the list, inviting God into relationship with these people. Would you just raise your hand if that's for you today? Awesome. We're going to go into this time of worship. And this is built into our service. You know, in just a few minutes, we're going to experience baptisms together. God is so good. And this is just a testimony. You're going to hear testimonies today of what God has done in the lives of people that have said, come into my life. Have your way. We're going to experience that together today. But before we get there, just take this opportunity. Just take these few minutes that we have together to invite God in, to shore up these things that he's spoken to you today. Even you can stand and sing if you want, but even if we say stand, if you don't want to stand, you don't have to. Don't let us boss you around, okay? You can sit, you can journal, you can, I know the floor is hard, but you can get on your knees, you can respond to God with your giving. Whatever it is that you need in this time, it is between you and Jesus. Please take advantage of it. Please take advantage of it. God, thank you so much that you don't leave us alone to navigate relationships with you and with other people. God, thank you that you provide all wisdom and knowledge and understanding and guidance. God, thank you that you are in the midst of us even now as we're experiencing unhealthiness in relationships with other people. Lord, I believe that you're going to stretch us in our faith. You're going to stretch us beyond our self-preservation and our walls up that we have in fear. You're going to say, you know what? Just take those down. Trust me. I will let you know what to do. I'll let you know what to say. I'll let you know if you need to engage or not, if you need to simply put it away. I'll guide you. I'll burden your heart for forgiveness if you're bitter. I'll set you free. But the first step is us just acknowledging that we can rely on you. In fact, you're the only one we can rely on for this. There's no amount of books that Dr. Phil has written or self-help or any amount of wisdom a counselor can give us. God, those are all things that can help us. But Lord, we rely on you first and foremost. Take direction from you. So move in this place. Speak. Speak into our hearts and our lives and our minds this morning. Thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.